Turning your senses inwards. Letting your attention move in and down. Feeling yourself standing on an old stony path. Polished by the feet of many walkers. So the stones beneath your feet shine and reflect light. Feel yourself walking along the path in that walking stride, relaxing into walking. Being aware as you walk of the struggle of life. Of the world on fire, the world with many difficulties. And being aware in your heart of that longing that Parmenides speaks of, the thumos, the longing for peace, for love, for reconciliation, for transformation. And as we walk, there's a fresh wind blowing towards us, out of the west. And it brings us the sense of the tang of salt, the scent of the sea and seaweed, and the feeling of far horizons, of new journeys. And as we come over the brow of the hill, we see that the road goes downwards to a little harbour. A secret harbour, a hidden place, not easily seen or found. And as we come down the hill, down into the flatness, we come to a little crescent-shaped harbour and a little town, an ancient town with beautiful old carved stone, but silent now. There don't appear to be any inhabitants. Nor does it feel that there have been inhabitants here for many a year. And there is a feeling that it's a place that few people find. But we have found it. We walk along the harbour, coming to a jetty that extends out into the sea. And we look beyond the harbour mouth. And in the distance on the horizon, we may see the shape of a sail. And as we stand there watching, the sail becomes bigger and nearer. And an extraordinary ship, shaped like a swan, sails across the waters towards us. Strangely, for it seems to take no time at all, and yet it seems to have travelled a great distance. It comes to the jetty, and it is extraordinary to look at, for it is shaped as a swan, and yet it is a ship. It sails of pure white linen, and marked on the sail there is a golden tree and a silver tree. It stops by the jetty. And standing in the prow of the boat is an old man who wears a tweed jacket that is somewhere woven through with silver and gold. And the man is old, but the man is vigorous. And he beckons to us, invites us and helps us down onto the ship. And as we find our place on the ship, it silently begins to move, heading towards the west, heading towards the horizon. The old man takes from his pocket an old red leather book. And gives it to us, suggesting to us that we may look at it as we travel. And as we move across the waters, we maybe open the book. And on the first page of the book, we see the image of a gold tree and a silver tree intertwined together. And on the next page, an image of the trees withered. As we turn the page again, we see shapes of beauty. As we turn the page again, we see shapes of devastation and war. And as we keep turning the pages, we see that woven into the great story, which is the great story of the world, is our own story. We may see scenes from our life and see them differently because they are placed within the great story of the world. And as we keep turning the pages of the book, we constantly see how the great story of the world connects to our story. And as we come to the end of the book, we see images of us walking towards the grey havens and boarding the swan ship. As we close the book, we look up and we see that we have travelled a vast distance, for in front of us there is a harbour and a green island, which did not seem to be there when we looked down at our book. We docked at the harbour, and the old but vigorous man helps us to step onto land and wishes us well. This is another harbour town, like the town we left, except it is full of life and presence and beings, human and fairy. There's a great deal of warmth and welcome, but nobody bothers us, and we have a strong feeling from the longing in our heart that we must not rest here. There's a road leading out of the town that we walk upon, finding ourselves in beautiful countryside. As if in an eternal spring, where the green is fresh and the flowers are fresh, and the air is bright and clear. And we come to the centre of the island, and we follow a path that leads us upwards. The path ascends the hill, and on the right side is a great stone wall and yew trees. On the left, we look out across the island into the waters of the sea, into the far west. But we become aware that the light is starting to fade. And as we come to the brow of the hill, we see that a little to west of us, there is a path that leads to a white cottage that seems to be thatched in silver and gold. There are lights at its windows, which beckon to us, which seem to welcome us. We walk down the short path and find ourselves before an oak door. This too is marked with this, the tree of silver and the tree of gold. And beside the door, two beings stand. Two elven beings, a man and a woman, who seem to be the guardians of this place. And we ask them for shelter. And they welcome us. They invite us into their home, and we find ourselves in a great hall. And we are given a candlestick with a candle, which ignites as we hold it. And we become aware that there is a great table here, and each being who sits at the table holds also a candle that is their light, their fire, their expression of the secret fire. It burns always at the center of each being. And we sit at the great table, contemplating the lights, contemplating the secret fire that we hold and they hold. And after a moment, our hosts indicate to us that we must follow them. And we are led along a long corridor. To a room that has a red glow peeping out of the doorway. And they tell us that this is the room of story. This is the room where the great tales are told. This is the room of the ever-burning flame. And we're ushered into this room, which has a great hearth and a fire of silver and gold that generates a great warmth in the heart. And from which many other colours appear, red and blue, yellow and green, orange and indigo, a multicoloured world, but at its heart, bright silver, bright gold, spiralling eternally. And we look deep into the spiraling silver gold flame. And we hear the voice of the old man who was on the ship. And we realize he is now seated in a great throne in the corner. And he is describing a journey. And as we hear his voice, and as we look into the silver and gold spiraling flame, we are drawn into this journey. We find ourselves walking between high hedges. And in the distance, there is a great gate. formed from a silver tree and a golden tree intertwined together. And we are drawn to this silver and gold light. And as we come to this gateway, it opens before us. And there is a moment of disorientation, and we are filled with the turning and the swiftly moving and the spiraling silver and gold that seems to intertwine within us and reweave our world. And we find ourselves in a ship that is in the air. And standing is a mariner who bears a star upon his forehead that shines with silver and gold. And above the ship and us is a great white bird. And the ship moves forward, surging forward into the west, into the far horizon. And we see great mountains and a gap in the mountains, which we are headed directly for. And as we enter into the mountain, into the gap, we enter into a light that is brighter than any light we have ever known. And we are shown many things. Dark and light. We are shown the shaping and the making of things, the ending and the resurrecting of things. We are shown renewal and the return of the King. We are shown victory after defeat, restitution after dispossession, resurrection after death. We are held for a moment by the great shapers of the world that make wind and water, earth and fire, and the light of the stars. And beyond them, we come to a single point, a simplicity that is beyond all and manifests all. In that moment, face beholds face, and there is union. Amen, Selah. We are held in that union, are gathered into the great bundle of the living, into the great bundle of the mortal immortals. And are just here, just now, at home, now.